Question for you. Did everyone get one of these cards that says the measure of faith? All right. Now that's your measure of faith this morning. I wanted to give you something you can hold on to, something you can put under your pillow, something you can put in your wallet, somewhere, ladies, you can put in your purse. And everywhere you go, you're going to be walking with your measure of faith. On the back side of it, it's empty. You know why? Because you might want to put what you had unbelief in. And every time you look at the unbelief, you just got to turn over and say, no, I got a measure of faith. I want this to be an illustration, something to hold on to, something that you can place your faith into for this series. Because what God showed me is everybody has the same measure. Every card that was given to you was printed in the same spot and all printed is the same size. You're all given the same measure of faith. It's what you do with it. It's how you apply it. And if you can get your unbelief, the measure of faith looks larger, but apparently it's really still all the same. So this morning I just want to make sure that you get your measure of faith. It's important that you carry it, and if you haven't gotten one, we'll get you one. And then, you know, maybe during service, God's going to show you something where you've had some unbelief, and you put that down there, because then eventually you can start crossing these things out because you have a measure of faith. I had unbelief in this, Pastor, that I couldn't be healed, but, oh, I've got a measure of faith. They told me I was going to be broken, busted, and disgusted. Oh, but I got a measure of faith. They told me I couldn't have children because I was too old, but, oh, I got a measure of faith. So we're going to talk about this morning. It's part two about the presence of unbelief, part two. And I want to share with you just a few things, because sometimes, you know, we go to God and we pray and we ask Him and we're believing for stuff and it doesn't manifest right away. And you go, oh, it's my lack of faith. No, it's your unbelief that's in your system. And what you got to do is start shaking it loose, because when you got saved as a Christian, salvation came upon you and you had gotten a measure of faith. It's not the lack of faith that you have, it's the presence of unbelief, because unbelief cancels out your faith and renders your prayers ineffective. And although we have faith, amen, we may not have victory, because there's some areas in our life that we need to deal with where we've had unbelief. People have told you no so long that you believed it. You heard the word can't so often that you can't do it. But let me tell you, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen. Who strengthens you. Faith and unbelief. Faith is here, unbelief. They oppose each other. They work against each other. They try to cancel themselves out. Unbelief hinders you from getting your results that God wants you to have. Amen. Last week, I'm going to recap. We said that unbelief can come in a couple different forms. One is ignorance or lack of the knowledge of word or concerning a situation. I didn't know that I could be healed. I was told that I was going to be sick, and I was getting taught a lesson. I was trained in that area. And then what I found is the word of God, I was ignorant. So I had unbelief that I could be healed. So what had to happen is I had to get that unbelief out of me. I had to get that wrong teaching out of me. You know, when your transmission has 50,000 miles, they flush it out. You got to get that stuff flushed out of you. Amen. We also have disbelief. Sometimes we have disbelief because we've had wrong doctrine. We've been taught wrong. Some people have told us this or that, but we've never verified it against the Word of God. We also have what they call natural unbelief. And this natural unbelief is from our senses. We're led by what we see and what we taste and what we feel. And that's why God says we walk by faith and not by what? Because our eyes are looking at something and it may look too big for God, but it's not. It's too big for you, but it's not too big for God. That's why you got to have faith. Amen. So this morning we're going to take a look at the Word. We're going to get into the Word. I'm going to break down a couple things this morning. And I'm going to help adjust your thinking a little bit. I'm hoping, I'm believing that you're going to have a shift in the atmosphere of your mindset, of what you've been taught. Because I really believe that what we're seeing in the news, what we're seeing on TV, what we read, what we hear, is just because there's been a lack of God's presence in people's lives. And there's going to be a shift in the atmosphere because we're going to pray. And when we pray, God moves on our behalf. Amen. We're going to take a look at Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. We looked at this last week. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a what? A measure of faith. Same measure. Didn't give me a little bit more, didn't give me a leg up, didn't give me something more than he gave someone else. But see, those that haven't received Jesus don't have that measure of faith. You have an advantage because you got God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on your team. Amen. Romans 12:3 out of the New Living Translation. Just a little different twist on it, but the same principle here. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I will give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Lord, bless this word this morning. Let us walk out of here different than the way we walked in. Lord God, let us open our spiritual ears to hear what you're going to say. And Lord God, let it be deposited in our hearts, because when it's deposited in our hearts, Lord God, it's what our mouth will confess. So Lord God, let it be deeply rooted. And Lord God, let it make room, Lord God, for other things that have been unbelief, Lord God. Move that unbelief, Lord God. Stir it up and kick it out and get it out, Lord God. And let us fill it with your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say, all believers receive the same measure of faith when you are saved. See, when you're saved, you all receive the same measure of faith. No one gets any more. You're no more special to God than Jesus. Oh, that's a pretty bold statement. Jesus is important to God, but you're just as important. That's why he sent Jesus, so that he would die on a cross for us to forgive our sins, so that we could have access to the Father. That's how valuable you are. He wanted us to get faith. See, it's not getting results in your life that's got to make you wonder, is it my faith or is it my unbelief? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Because I know faith works 100% of the time. So there must be something that's eating away in my life that's causing me not to have the faith walk that I should have. We got to work the word in our lives. We've got to push out all the unbelief that's been deposited in us from years and years of living in a lifestyle, amen, of the ungodly. This unbelief that we have chokes out our faith and makes it ineffective. So you can take certain medicines that will help you with your sinuses, for example. But there are other medicines that you take that counter-react that, and it fights that, and then it has no effect. It's what happens when you have unbelief in your life, and it really directly affects your faith. It opposes it. Now, this morning, I want to give you some good news, because there's a thing called grace, which is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. I would rather have favor than a whole bunch of intelligence, because favor isn't fair. Favor makes people go, why is he getting that blessing and not me? It makes people say, well, he only had a third grade education, but he's the CEO of that company. How does that happen? It's interesting. I was watching some TV this past week, and they have the American Idol. And they have a guy on there that stutters when he talks. But when he sings, he sounds like a choir of angels. There's no stuttering when he speaks. I say that is because God's going to use that young man. He already has. He's already got the stage of of the world right now. And it's just awesome to see how God can turn around a situation, a circumstance. He could have said, my whole life I was a stutterer, I'm not even going to try to sing. He could have sat in there and said, I have unbelief, I'm not going to be able to sing. But guess what? He believes he can sing. Guess what happens when he opens his mouth and sings? He sings and there ain't no stuttering going on. See, grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. Therefore, you got to understand, grace cannot ever be earned. Grace comes through Jesus Christ, and the only access, I'm going to get this morning, the only access to grace is by faith. Let me say that again, because it's going to click in your head here. Grace only comes from Jesus Christ, and it can only be accessed by faith. If you're in doubt and unbelief, you can't access God's grace, which means his unmerited, his undeserved favor. So when you see me having favor, it's because I've got unbelief removed from my system and I'm having favor. So don't get mad when don't get mad when somebody else has got all this favor in their life. It's because they've removed unbelief, which gave them access to God's unmerited favor, his grace. Take a look at Ephesians 2:8. It's the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 2:8. It says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. So when you receive Jesus and you have salvation, this is what it's saying, it was a free gift from God. Didn't cost you anything, but cost him everything. At that point in time, God gave you, guess what? The measure of faith. Right there and then, he gave you the measure of faith. Not the measure of disbelief, the measure of unbelief. He gave you the measure of faith. And this salvation is not of yourself or of your doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. I don't know about you, I like gifts. My birthday's coming up April 15th. Mark that on your calendar. I'm going to be 39 years old. Again. And again and again and again. I'm going to be 48, closer to 50. Devil tried wiping me out when I was in my 20s. I wasn't supposed to have children, but he is a liar. I wasn't supposed to be married because I was supposed to be dead. God had a different plan. He got a purpose and a plan and a destiny for me. Verse 9 says, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man boast. It's not how good I am or how handsome I am or any of that. It had nothing to do with it. Not how good I could talk or can't talk, or if I'm a stutterer or afraid to speak in front of people. It had nothing to do with it. It says, it is not a result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride themselves in it or take glory to himself. Salvation is a free gift given from God. And so is faith. God's given you a measure of faith. That's why y'all got it. Y'all got a measure of faith. I mean, you're gonna carry this in your wallet, and I'm gonna carry mine. And every time I open it up, pay for something, I say, oh, I gotta measure faith. I want it to be a remembrance. Take several if you have to. I want you to get this everywhere you go, you have faith. So when the bill comes and it's a little bit more than you have in your pocketbook, you go, I need faith, Jesus. Don't get in unbelief. Amen. Maybe God will tell you to bless somebody inside that restaurant that don't even know you. I didn't even share this with my wife yesterday. But I was going to Starbucks in the morning. I went to the gym before I went to the men's conference. It has nothing to do with this, but I just thought I'd help you understand. I was in my truck, and I was testing out the bass in my truck. God's funny, because I pull into Starbucks and there wasn't a line. Usually there's a long line. Oh, God. Hallelujah. So I'd just been playing the music real loud when I came up, and the guy shows up on the speaker with his face. Because now they got like a camera so they can see you when you talk. It's face to face. So it's all this technology. And I got my music playing. And guess what song was on the radio? Shifting My Atmosphere. And there's this lady behind me. This black lady. And I got my music so loud, she can hear it. So I turned it down just for a moment and gave the guy my order. I had to get my coffee ready, go home, get showered up. I brought my beautiful wife a little bit of coffee, you know. Got her a venti because I knew she was going to have a long day shopping or doing whatever she had to do with the kids and picking them up. So we start with a venti. Then she works the rest of the way with a grande and then a tall, and then she's good by the end of the day. No, I'm just kidding. Honey, so I got a measure of faith. I know, my day's coming. I already feel it. Glad you weren't at the men's conference. Anyways, just teasing. Just teasing. Didn't say a word. Praise God. But I was playing that music, and it was loud, and the bass was thumping. And so as I was waiting to go pay, I turned the music back up, and the lady behind me puts her heads out the window and goes, like, crank it back up, brother. So I crank it back up, and I'm just, you know, just praise the Lord, and I come up, and the guy gives me my drinks and stuff like that, and he goes, what song is that? I said, it's just Shifting My Atmosphere. He goes, that's the sweet side. And I don't know if he was a Christian or not. He said, boy, you got some real bass going. I said, yeah, I'm just testing out my new car. God gave me it, and I just wanted to test the bass. So I pay for my drink, and I'm all good, you know. I'm driving away, and the lady's waiting. Like, thank you. Yeah, I just shifted my atmosphere, right? You know? And so I go around a little corner, and then she's right next to me. And she rolls down, and she goes, that's just a beautiful song. She goes, so good to see you just join God in the morning time. Now I just got out of the gym. Now, mind you, I look like a hooligan. I had my sunglasses on. I had my bandana on, stretched back, you know. Just looked like I got hit with a fire hose of sweat, you know. As I always do when I go to the gym, I throw a little water on me so it looked like I was sweating, working out hard. And the lady just said, you know, that she was like, that was just like kind of like made her day. And I'm like, well, God makes my day every day, you know. But you got to be able to plug. See, I live what I preach. I do what I say. And I say that is because I used to have some unbelief in areas. I'd be afraid to share the testimony of what Jesus did. I don't go and I don't thump on people about the Bible. I just give them the real life experience. Because you may be at Starbucks now tomorrow turning up your volume so you got anybody's attention. Of course, though, there was one point of the story I forgot to tell you. As I was pulling out of it and my windows were down and my music was loud, there was three state troopers on their motorcycles just sitting there and they kind of just turned and looked. Just waved at him, praise the Lord, came on home. Salvation is a free gift. That's what God said. Faith is a free gift. And as Christians, we're dealt the same measure of faith at the point that we're saved. Grace is accessed by faith. That's what the Bible says. Grace in our lives can get cut off when we're in unbelief. God's unmerited favor, God's grace gets cut off when we are in unbelief. And then we say, why is this all happening to me? Why don't I have the grace of God on me? Because there's somewhere in your life that there's unbelief. I like to walk around in favor. I mean, I get favor all the time. I go places, I get blessed. People say kind things to me. My wife has favor on her life. My kids have favor on their lives. My daughter babysits some people, and she never babysat, and they blessed her with more money than she expected. Why? That's favor. God will release everything in your hands when you're not in unbelief. And favor isn't fair. That's why people talk about you. That's why people talk about big ministries sometimes, that you know, this or that, and that. That person's walking in the favor of God. They must be doing something right. Because if they weren't, the thing would swallow up and be done. God will remove what he doesn't like. See, God will give you favor when you walk in his word by faith. That's why he's so persistent in wanting you to walk by faith and not by sight. Because when you see things, what happens is they look too big for God. God didn't say to run by faith. He said walk by faith, because it's a marathon. You need to pace yourself in life. Let me just tell you how important it is to be walking in faith and not unbelief. Say, Jesus operated in the supernatural. He did he not? Say, Jesus had perfect faith. So if Jesus had perfect faith and he worked in the supernatural, that means he had no unbelief in his life. Right? We're good. He was the perfect man God, because we were jacked up, we needed him, right? And he operated in a supernatural and he had perfect faith. But, so when you use the word but, however, it cancels out right about what I said beforehand. He went into his own country and he couldn't do works because of the people's what? Unbelief. They limited the God of all creation. They limited the ability of the supernatural Savior by unbelief. It was like Superman and Kryptonite. It rendered him to, he could not do a thing. It paralyzed him. This is Jesus. That got my attention. Because there's nothing that Jesus could not do. But he'll never go against your will. You don't want to be healed. You don't have to be. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be financially blessed. He wants you to have more money than Steve Wynn. But we limit him in our unbelief. So we don't have all that we should have. Then we walk in lack. See, Steve Wynn has got the money, but he might not have Jesus. That's why he can't see where he's going right now. His unbelief in a God named Jesus who could heal him limits God's ability to touch him. Take a look at Matthew 13, verse 53. Last scripture. I promise. Matthew 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? They were impressed with Jesus. I'd be impressed too if I could hang around with Jesus. But they said something in verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Let me help you for a second. There would be people I know, if I went back to Michigan and told them I was a pastor, they would say, aren't you the son of a tool and die maker? Wasn't your dad the guy that worked in tool and die in a sweatshop for 10 and 12 hours a day and sometimes 7 days a week to provide for you? Yeah, yeah. Is this the son of a carpenter? Is not his mother named Mary? Mine was Mary Ann. It's common folk. Don't you have some brothers, James and Simon and Judas, and don't you have sisters? And yeah, I got a sister, and yeah, I got a brother. Yeah, yeah. Where then did this man get all these things? Oh, because he's in faith, which means he has grace, which is God's unmerited favor. And favor ain't fair. So they were offended by him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do any mighty works there because of their what? He couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do any mighty works. He couldn't open up the blind eyes because they handcuffed Jesus by their unbelief. I find that remarkable that he's God. He is God of the universe. He's the creator of heaven and earth and all the things that are in it. But he's limited by unbelief. He's got Christians in his family that are in unbelief. Unbelief shuts off the power or the spigot to God in your life. When your faith is not working, we must realize that we're in unbelief and figure out what's going on and remove it so that we can get the flow back into our lives. The battlefield of a Christian is not against your neighbor, it's in your mind. Either we will meditate on the word or something that contradicts the word, but you get to choose. Jesus wanted to do great and mighty things amongst his people. Why wouldn't he? Wouldn't you want to do something near your family to spur on the ministry? But he couldn't. He was limited because of their unbelief. They questioned, well, you're just a carpenter's son, and you're Mary's boy. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I have a resurrection power in me because of who I'm connected and associated with. But if you don't get that into your mind, then you can't change your unbelief. See, God promised Abraham that he would bear a son in his old age. Abraham focused on the promise rather than the deadness of his body. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on? That's why God says walk by faith, not by sight, because every time you look at your situation problem, you don't think God's big enough to take care of it. What's God promised you? What are you focusing on? The promise or the issue? When you consider something, considering means that you're carefully thinking about something. You're going to make a decision. You're contemplating. You're reflecting on something. Where are you spending your time? On the promise or on the issue? Are you focusing it on the problem you have that seems that it's too big for you? It is too big for you, but it's not too big for God. Remember your resources and who you're connected to. See, Abraham refused to consider the deadness of his body and the deadness of his wife's womb, and he also refused to be in unbelief. See, faith can take a dead situation and make it alive again, but you got to believe and have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What have you been placing in your ear gates? Are you been watching stuff and listening to stuff that opposes the things of God? Or are you listening to things that edify the things of God? Are you having faith words? Or are you having death words? Are you saying things that are edifying or things that are tearing you down? Because when you say things that are tearing you down, it puts you into a position to be in unbelief. I'm astounded that Jesus could not do any great miracles. They were limited due to people's unbelief. Think about that for a minute. Yesterday we went Friday and Saturday to a men's conference. And I had prepared this sermon today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, not knowing what I would experience on Friday and Saturday. I'm going to help you this morning. You think your situation is so bleak and so tough, you should have heard some of the stuff I heard at the men's conference. Your life is gravy compared to what some of the stuff some of these men were dealing with. But there was something that I noticed and it clicked, and this morning I told my wife, I said, there was something that I noticed in the men that were there, even though they were going through hell, even though they were going through stuff that could change their life forever, and in and out of jails, and stuff with their family, and sickness and disease, and death, and rape, and all kinds of craziness. Where were they found? They were found in the house of the Lord. Most people run away, which keeps them further and further in unbelief, because what they need to do is run to the church where the word's being taught so they can get their faith level built up to dispel the unbelief so that God can flow the favor and the grace and the mercy and the things through their life. I was blown away because this morning, my wife, because there's, this seemed, I said, I'm just focusing on what I experienced this weekend. And I kept on replaying man after man after man after man after man after man after man. They weren't forced to come. There wasn't a bullet in their head. Their wife said, if you, you know, you don't go, you can't kiss me later. No, no, they went on their own accord to the house of. Some of them got set free. Some got delivered. Some were never the same. We wrecked them. It was like, we just, you know, it was good. But it impressed me because some of the things some of these guys were going through, I don't know if I would have been at church. I probably would have found something else to go do. Probably would have had a pity party. Probably would be crying in my own corner. Probably, you know, whatever it would have been. But I found them in the house of the Lord. They were going after the word because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if they knew they could get to a place where there was some word being taught, just maybe, just by chance, if they heard the word, something may change inside of them. Maybe some of that unbelief, some of that doubt would go. Some of them tell you, I still don't know, but I got a lot of answers that I didn't have before. Which means there was a shift in their life. There was some stuff that they were believing that was wrong, some disbelief, some wrong teaching, and they got thrown out of their system, and right thinking was put in place, which is going to allow things to flow. Guys weeping all over the floor, and Kleenex boxes being used up more than I use in my house. Amen? But I was impressed. God impressed to me that they ran into the house of the Lord. Family members just passed away at 10 o'clock on Friday night after the men's conference. But where were they found the next day? Where they could get someone to pray for them and someone to help them and get them out of their unbelief situation so that God can pour His favor and blessing and His grace and His mercy. There's some hurting men. There's probably some hurting women out there too. But some of the stuff I've seen and encountered and prayed for blew me away. But one thing we kept on speaking to them was just believe. Just trust God. You got to have faith, brother. We all have that same measure of faith. but your unbelief is blocking it. You don't have that cash flow because it's been cut off because of your unbelief. Well, I don't want to tithe. That means I got to give some money away to... But when you give, you receive a hundredfold more. Is it better to give than to receive? I don't know about you. I mean, I love to receive gifts. And I said earlier, I do. But I love to give a lot of gifts away. I love to give of my time. I love to give because I love to see the reaction on the other person's face. It's better to give. I think that because Jesus gave himself. It was better to give than to receive. He couldn't do anything in his own hometown because of their unbelief. We all start off with the same measure of faith, but what are we doing with ours? Check for unbelief because it stops the flow of God. It even stopped Jesus from moving in great signs and wonders in his own hometown. Unbelief stopped Jesus. Unbelief will stop you. So don't be in unbelief. Believe that you can fly. Amen. Soar like an eagle. We need to focus more on God's results and promises than what we see with our natural eyes. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to think and carefully pray about our decisions that we make and contemplate and reflect on everything that we have, because it either leads to faith or it leads to unbelief. The issue is not always the lack of faith, but the presence of unbelief. Don't allow fear and worry or the cares of the world to get you into unbelief and doubt. The devil is the master deceiving you and your thinking. And you're thinking that God doesn't hear you and God's not working on your behalf and God doesn't like you anymore. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He loves you. He gave you Jesus. He gave his only begotten son. I wouldn't give my son up for nothing. Take my life, he ain't taking my son. See, salvation is a free gift, and so is faith. And Christians, we got a deal here that we have the same measure of faith. We get grace, and we only access that by faith. We get our grace cut off when we are not in faith. Well, I don't think God can do that. When you think he can't, he won't. Grace in our lives get cut off when we're in unbelief. Grace is not earned. It's God's favor that comes to you. Unbelief postpones your favor. I don't know about you. I don't like to be postponed on anything. Amen. I got a trip planned at the end of March. I don't want it to be postponed. I've set some money aside. I got a nice hotel that, oh, God bless me with. Favor. Oh, Pastor. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me brag about Jesus. He gave me a suite, 2-bedroom suite with a kitchen and a whole thing on the top floor of a penthouse for 5 days. You know how much I pay for that? God's favor. It ain't fair. Don't get mad at me. But when you walk in right standing, when you do the right thing, when you are a blessing, and when you do the right things in business, when you work things out and you give more than you take, people are willing to bend over. They don't understand why they're doing it. They just want to do it for you. I didn't beg and ask. I said, I think I might come down on a little vacation. Well, don't go anywhere. You stay with us. You're going to stay here. I'm going to put you in a penthouse. I said, get out of here. He goes, no, seriously. I said, you put me in a penthouse. Come on. He goes, no, I'm putting you in a penthouse suite, baby. Top floor. Got 2 big rooms, and it's all glass, and it displays the whole river, the Colorado River. I'll take pictures and bring it back. Because that's his unmerited favor. That's God. I can't wait to get up there and start praying from the top of that building. Which the whole foundation will be shaken. Because favor isn't fair. That means I must have got some more than unbelief out of my lifestyle so I can get more flow coming in. Coming in, coming out. Coming in, coming out. Coming in. Blessing, 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 blessing. Help somebody. Bless. Unbelief postpones your favor. I don't want any postponements. God will give you favor when you walk by faith and by His Word. You got to use your mountain-moving faith. That measure He gave you, that moves a mountain. That destroys sickness. It destroys disease. It destroys lack. If you believe it does. If you don't believe it does, then that measure of faith is just going to sit on the shelf. It's going to look nice. Someone say, what's that? Oh, you got a measure of faith. What a great conversation piece to have when you're at lunch. Just having that laid out. Maybe you ought to take a few with you. That's a pretty good idea. Thank you, Jesus. Put that down. What's that? Measure of faith. First thing I take your order. What's that measure of faith? I'm believing you're going to. Don't you have a measure of faith? What a way to open up a conversation with somebody. Should have printed 100. I will. What are you doing with your measure of faith? See now you're starting to get my point about the measure of faith. You can be walking around with that in your wallet. You know, I mean, you carry it in your wallet and say, I only got 20 bucks in here and there's somebody that I could bless. I've got a measure of faith. Hey, if I go bless, Lord, tell me to go do that right now because I'm not going to delay, because delayed obedience is disobedience. And if you disobey what God tells you to go do and say you bless that person, that measure of faith, oh, maybe a 100-fold increase is coming. Because that's what I'm calling it. The 30 and 60 are good. I like 100. Because Jesus is a sure bet. Remember who you're connected to. You're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Kings. You're created in His image. I like when the Bible says we were created in their image. The image of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You were created in their image. They didn't have unbelief and doubt. Jesus didn't. He couldn't work the miracles and signs because of people's unbelief. Didn't say he didn't want to. He was probably crying on the inside, saying, I really want to bless my own hometown. I want to go back and be a blessing to my friends in school and in my neighborhood. But they didn't receive me because all they seen me was a carpenter's boy. And they got upset with me because I knew a little bit more than what they knew. Because God's unmerited favor was blessed going through Jesus. Think about that this morning. When we depart here this morning, think about the favor of God. Think about how God wants to shift your atmosphere. God, how He wants to change your life. How He wants to do something different inside of you. This morning, we're gonna sing a song. And we're going to open up the altars. And if there's an area you've been struggling with unbelief, I'll get in agreement with you. But leave it at the altar. Don't take it home with you. Don't bring it in your car. Don't share it again to say, I'm leaving this one at the altar. I mean, I've had unbelief about getting a house, or I've had unbelief about a doctor's report, or I've had unbelief about my financial security. And let me just say, your financial security isn't in the stock markets in Jesus. I've had doubt about my business, or I had doubt about my kids ever coming home and serving Jesus. I don't know if he'll ever turn around. He's been drinking and smoking and carousing around. God is bigger. You have a measure of faith. You have a promise. You got someone who says all debts have been paid. You got the what they call the black gold or the black card from American Express. It's unlimited. And He is unlimited also. But when you get in unbelief, that it gets limited. I want a God that gives me the black card, amen. It says, hey, it's unlimited. I got all the expenses taken care of. I've already paid all the price for you. I've already taken care of. Just use your measure of faith. Trust me. Believe me. So I'm going to let the singers come up and sing. And I'm going to just open up the altars for you this morning. You can come up and I'll just pray with you. It won't be a long prayer. Amen. And then we'll just take up the offering. And then we can go out and be a blessing to somebody. Huh? Shifting the atmosphere. That song you had on? Amen. And we're going to shift the atmosphere in your life. Amen. And then we're going to give. And then God's going to release us to go get her done. Amen.